Well, once you look at Exodus chapter 33, easy to find, Exodus 33, verse number 12, and I want to preach about this. The Lord just burdened me about this message, and I hope it comes across like it came across to me. Verse number 12 of Exodus 33, we're going to look at Moses, one of a favorite character of many people. And this particular phrase, I've mentioned it before. I may even preach and use it in a point or something, but I've never preached this specific. But I just am arrested by the phrase in verse number 15. I'll show you how God does it. Sometimes I knew what I was going to preach, or I thought I knew what I was going to preach, but I was listening to the scriptures just while in my office not too long ago, and I already knew what I was going to preach. And so I was just listening, as sometimes I do, just when I'm just doing other work. And this passage was read by Alexander Scorby, that great voice that every preacher wish he had. He read it out, and I thought, oh my goodness, and the Lord just brought it back to me, and I already knew what I was going to preach. But he was just reading through the King James Bible, as many of you have listened to his voice on audio cassette back in the day. I was looking through some junk, not our house, but somebody brought some stuff in, and I found the whole New Testament on long play album. Now, just so happens we have a record player. I could have taken home and listened to it, but I thought, well, why would you do that if you got it on audio? You know, you got it on audio files. You just listen to it there. But it's been a while. It used to be that some folks at the church had it on cassettes. I ain't ever seen on 8-track, so if you've got one of those, let me see it sometime. I won't tell who you are. I'm sure you'd be embarrassed, but we're looking at Exodus chapter 33, and we look at verse number 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. That's what Moses said. God, you've said these things to me. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. This is so sweet and so lovely that Moses is speaking to God as a friend, and that's what the Bible says, he's a friend of God. Now therefore, I pray thee, verse 13 again, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, and this is the verse that really arrested me, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And can I just say that God's agenda hasn't changed on that, the end of verse number 16. He wants all of us. If you're saved, he wants you to be separated. I mean, I'm not speaking about you usually separate. Well, live a clean life. Yes, that's true. But he wants to, he, like you would your favorite. He loves the whole world. He sent the whole world, or he sent his son for the whole world. He loves the whole world. But those that come to Jesus Christ in faith, he separates them unto himself, and he loves on them just like he is doing, hopefully, in the services that we have. God's just pouring things out on you. Why is he doing that? Because you're separated unto him, because he wants to love on you. Again, there's two types of separation. Separation, don't go out there and live like a wild heathen. That's separation. Don't live like that. But there's another thing that God just wants to pull you apart and separate you out and do those special things to you that he won't necessarily do to other people. He wants to give you some things in the scripture. He wants to be with you in your special time of prayer. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to pull you aside from all the cares of the world and separate. We should be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Verse 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. I'll give you just let's look at the conclusion of this passage. It shows in verse number 34 what's going to happen after this interaction with God. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first. Remember the first ones, Moses threw them down because they were living such wicked lives when he came down from the meeting with God. He says, God says, hew thee the two tables of stone like the first ones, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. and be ready in the morning and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai and present thyself. So that's going to be the conclusion after God shows him his glory. There's so much wonderful thing in here. I can't help but show you. We sang this song just the other day. Look at verse number 21. Brother Dan led us in that song that says, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, and it covereth me there with his hand. Well, this is where that's from. Verse 21 of chapter 33. And the Lord said, Behold, there's a place by me. And I just think you could dwell on that thought for a little while. God says, there's a place up here by me. There's a place that you can come. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. And thou shalt come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock. Just a little cleft, a little hole there. And I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Of course, no man seeth God at any time and liveth. So that's where that song comes from. But that's not at all what I'm preaching from. That's just a little extra that you got. I'm not even going to charge you extra. You are, wow, this is good. You get that for the bargain price of whatever you paid to get in. So we're looking back, though, at that phrase in verse 15, if thy presence go not with us, it go not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses was intent on giving God this, not an ultimatum, but a request. And he said, Lord, if you're not going to go up with us, I'd just rather not go. And in our age and day where it feels like in church work, but also in your work, your life, the show must go on. Whether you had time to prepare with the Lord or not. I'm getting ahead of myself, although you can't see my notes and you'd be embarrassed, or I'd be embarrassed if you could, so it won't matter. But Curtis Hudson was told a story one time leaving for church, and one of his daughters was acting up. And he said, "There, honey, they're expecting me at church." It was getting right up to church time, his own church, when he pastored Forest Hills down in Georgia. He said, "Honey, they're expecting me at church." And as he was telling this story, I read it in print, but as he was telling this story, I was thinking that he was going to say, they're expecting me at church, so I'm going to have to put this discipline problem off till after church, but he didn't do it that way. She was not doing something she was supposed to. That part didn't stick in my mind. But he said, honey, they're expecting me at church. I'm the pastor. But this, whatever this is, need to be dealt with. And he said, they're going to have to go on without me for a little while because I want to make this right before we go there and try to get God's blessings in on the service. Now, he was telling that to preachers after the fact, but that's what he told his little girl. And I wonder sometimes how I would handle things. You know, we live in this day and age when everything has to go on. The show must go on. If you didn't have your devotions, we're still expected to be somewhere. If you didn't get alone with God, you're still supposed to. If you didn't have time to read your Bible, you didn't have to do right, time to do right, you didn't have to do time to do all these things, it seems like you're still expected to go on like everything's normal. But everything's not normal. And we see this particularly lovely story here where Moses says, God, we're getting ready to go up, but if your presence is not going to be noticeable with us, then I don't want to go. And I would to God if we had that attitude in every arena of our lives, where if we didn't realize the presence of God, we didn't realize His help with us, that we'd say, God, I'd rather avoid the situation than I don't want to go. If as young people are getting ready to get married, they'd say, God, if you're not going to be in this, I don't want to go in it without you. And as missionaries go somewhere, we expect them to say, Lord, if you don't go with me, I can't go anyways. And we understand that. But that sentiment is true in everything that we go to do. Lord, if you're not going with us, I don't want to go. I read a story of J.D. Conger. He told everyone that if his wife went on to heaven without him, he did not think he could live without Opal. They had been married for 80 years at that point. It so caught the attention of some local people there, and they were living in a small town, that the local newspaper did a story on him, because it said even though she was frail and she had a lot of health issues, she still made up for his failing eyes and his failing ears, even though some dementia issues were setting in on her, so they were quite a pair. That they lived 81 years eventually together. They were so devoted, though, to each other, the newspaper came out and did this article on them. But he said, I don't believe I could live without Opal. And J.D. was true to his word because he followed Opal in death 48 hours after she went to heaven, as did he. Now, some people call that the widowhood effect, researchers. But it's as if J.D. was saying that if I ain't going to be with her, I don't want to be here. Now, thank God that God is faithful to widows and widowers, and he still continues to bless them and help them. But I see this aspect as I read that story in preparation for a message. I see that what if we had that idea that said, Lord, I so depend on you that I don't want to live if I can't have your touch on my life. I'm afraid that so many times that we just live with or without God's help. Now, you can't, because the Bible says he holds his breath in your hands, and so you're dependent on God and you don't even know it. You may so if he didn't want you to, you wouldn't walk out this building tonight, or you wouldn't wheel out, you wouldn't get in your car, you wouldn't do anything. You can't put one foot in front of another. You can't put one thought in front of another except he wills it to be so. But you understand what I mean. Sometimes we just are oblivious to that, and we think that we can go on with or without his touch. But my friend, I want you to know that Moses, in that day, as he says this to the Lord, he realized that there was nothing that he could do apart from God's help on his life. And I'd like to get every single one of us in this room tonight in that same form, in that same fashion, that we were aware, keenly aware, that unless God lets me do what I do, I can't do anything. I want you to see a couple things. We see that Moses declares, without God, he's not going, in verse number 15. I'm calling that the request is given. He says, if your presence doesn't go with us, then carry us not up hence. Lester Roloff, an old preacher from yesteryear, that he would sit on the platform, so I'm told. I've never heard him in person, but he would sit on the platform, I'm told, and he would flip through his Bible, and he would look, and he would preach, or he would look as some, and they'd tell the person to sing again, sing again, sing again. Somebody asked him, Brother Roloff, what are you doing that for? He said, I'm looking to see what God wants me to preach. Now, as your pastor, that'd scare me to death. I pretty well know, but until I get in here now, God has changed it even as pretty late in the game, but I like to generally know the area I'm going in. I might not know the specific landing strip, but I like to know the region, you know? And so he said, I'm just waiting on God to give me just the right message. But I see here that Moses declares that he's not going without God. The request is given. But I want you to see in verse number 14, not only is the request given, but the rest is gained, because with God's presence, there's peace, in verse number 14. And he said, my presence shall go with you, with thee rather, and I will give thee rest. Here's a misnomer that we have, a wrong thinking sometimes. We think about peace and we think, wow, everything seems all smooth around us. Well, you understand that, as that saying goes, sometimes God settles the storm. Sometimes he settles his people in the storm. There's an old phrase from some Indian tribes around Ecuador and down around Bolivia. The use for this peace that they have that just best illustrates this as I heard it. The word that they have means this: to sit down in one's heart. Mean that in your heart, you know, your essence of you sit down. And I'm asking you tonight, are you sitting down in your heart? Meaning, are you relaxing in the goodness of God? Are you antsy and worried about whatever's going to come tomorrow or next week or the next week, that next physical test that comes in? Or that next report that comes in from some doctor? Or are you standing up in your heart just all fidgety and worried, thinking, I don't know how we're going to get through this. I don't know how God's going to pull this off. Or are you like that Indian tribe down there that says, I'm sitting down in my heart? The Bible says that Moses was told by God, I'm going to give you rest in your heart. Yes, I'm going to be with you, and I'll give you rest. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse number 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. And you realize that verse was given not long before Jesus died in agony. So I'm not saying that God's going to solve all your problems and make your life so peaceful that anybody could sit there and be relaxed. But I am telling you this, that if you would yield your heart to God, and if I would yield my heart to Him, then in the midst of financial turmoil, in the midst of all these pressures, in the midst of all this uncertainty and not knowing what's going to happen here or how this is going to turn out, that you could sit down in your heart and have the rest that God is going to do what God always does. I see, first of all, that the request is given by the Moses, but then the rest is gained because God says, I'll go with you. And the peace of God, Philippians chapter 4 says, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That word keep in that word means to stand at a post, meaning that you ought to keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Guard against the aggression of the enemy. Now, you know there's enough going on the internet and on the newscast and everything else. Like, one, hardly anybody watches news in the typical old-fashioned way. But that preacher said that the newscaster would begin his broadcast by saying good evening, and then would go on for the next half hour and proceed to tell you why it wasn't a good evening. There's plenty to keep us unsettled. There is plenty to keep us at ill at ease. Since World War II, history folks tell us, since World War II, there have been three new wars started every year. And we don't hear about them. I looked up with reference for this message, 10 or so going on right now throughout the world, wars. You don't always hear about them. We live in relative peace here, and we kind of think that everything's fine, but there's wars going on right now in this world, and somebody said, history folks say that there's been three new ones every year since World War II. Is it any wonder that Jesus said, not as the world giveth, give I unto you? If we're looking for peace that the world gives, they don't even know what they're dishing out. They don't have it to dish out. But rest is gained through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Moses said, I want to glorify God. I want to go only if God goes with me, because I know wherever He goes, He brings peace. You remember the story as well as I do. Those disciples waking up Jesus in that boat. And when He got up there, woke up, He could have calmed that storm anywhere, anytime He wanted to. Rest is given. Let me give you this last one. Look at verse number 17, if you would. I told you there was a request given. That was Moses saying, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go. And there's rest is gain. But I want to show you the result from God. And this is the kind of living that brings a closeness to God. Verse 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. And I love the last phrase, I know thee by name. Amen. Can you imagine? When all that was going on, but Moses has this personal, intimate talk with God, he says, I know thee by name. In Exodus chapter 33, the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses as a man speaketh unto his friend. So I believe that we found the secret to why Moses made that wonderful statement when he says, Lord, if you ain't going, I ain't going. Count me out. That'd be a good philosophy for us. Lord, if you ain't welcome, I ain't welcome. If you're not going, I'm not going. And I think we found the secret to why Moses said that, carry us not up hence, because he couldn't fathom not being in a place where he was close to the Lord. And I'm bothered because I'm not bothered as much as Moses was about going for long periods of my day without being intimately close with the Lord. Once again, I'm bothered because I'm not as bothered as I should be. Because my life is like your life. There's things coming at you fast. Decisions need to be made. Problems are happening. You ladies know, if you're married, you know what problems are. You got one sitting beside of you. Problems are coming at you fast. And if we're not careful, we'll go for too long without being really aware that we need His presence. Oh, we know we need it as an intellectual fact. But we'll go too long without reminding ourselves, Lord, I need you. I need you, Lord, not to get mad at these coworkers. I need you, Lord, to discipline myself to do this right. I need you, Lord, to live the kind of teenage life that I'm supposed to live. Lord, I need you to honor my father and my mother. Lord, I need you not to provoke my children to wrath. Lord, I need you to be a good employee. Lord, I need you to be a good employer. Lord, I need you to be a good coworker. Whatever it is, if we're not careful, we get so used to running through our day, just like we've always run through our day, that we don't get on our knees figuratively and say, Lord, if you don't go with me this next meeting, I don't want to go. Lord, if you don't help me raise these kids, I don't know what I'm going to do. Lord, if you're not going to be in this marriage, then I don't want to enter into it. Lord, if you're not going to go into this day with me, then I'd just rather stay here at home, put the cover over my head and just stay here. If you don't go with me, then carry us not up hence. You ever gone into a crowded, maybe an auditorium, maybe a church service, but an auditorium where you're there for an event? I don't know, whatever you've been at. But you don't have assigned seats, it's just festival seating. You know what's a great relief? When you see somebody you know. You know what's even better? When they got two seats beside of them. But I watch it here every Sunday, on Sunday mornings especially. And I see somebody, and this is why we want to work so hard on with everybody, not just the ushers, but with everybody. I watch it every Sunday morning when there's somebody that's new, a visitor, a guest, and how when somebody in a kind, gracious way says, hey, there's a seat here by me, or let me move on in and you can have here, it just, this look of relief comes over their face, because all of a sudden somebody took care of their problem. They gave them that peace. That anxiety now can just be pushed aside. And I see this in verse number 17 as he says, I know thee by name. You've got a place by me. You've got a spot here. You're not having to worry about there not being a place for you in my plan. Basically, God was saying, Moses, I got big plans and you're in it. And I think about this. There's a lot of stories, but I'm going to quit. You know, we served a church with a large Christian school for a number of years, and you had this Christian school with a Christmas program. But you know, not everybody acts Christian at a Christian play for the Christian school for the Christmas season. You want to know how I know? Because you take some 70-year-olds and they, a 70, 75-year-old grandmother, and she doesn't get up to a seat that she wants to sit at because her little junior is going to be up there on the platform doing his part of the play. Sometimes she's not showing the love of Jesus. You heard about that police officer that pulled this lady over, and she was showing unkind signs and cussing out the window and driving real aggressively. And so she got pulled over by the police officer, and he said, ma'am, get out of the car. She said, what are you talking about? Get out of the car. Said, I'm charging you with automobile theft. She said, I ain't sold this car. She said, he said, oh, I'm sorry. He said, I just assumed when I saw your bumper sticker, said, honk if you love Jesus, and then I saw you acting in such an unchristian way, I didn't figure this was your car. So sometimes we don't always act so peaceful. But I do know this, that God wants to give us peace. He says, my presence shall go with thee, verse 14, and I will give thee rest, which is another word for peace. So we see tonight that Moses declares he's not going without God. The request is given. Lord, please take me with you, or else don't let me go. We see that with God's presence there's peace, or rest is gained. And then we see this kind of living brings this closeness to God. That's the result from God. I want to ask this question, then I'll close. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved, please let me just give you this invitation. In just a moment, somebody will be standing right in front of the pulpit that I preach from. And if you've come in tonight and you're just not sure you're on your way to heaven, when we stand, I'm going to invite you to come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be sure. But the vast majority of you are saved in this room, or possibly everybody, I don't know. And I want to close with this one question. If you're a child of God, you can't live without the presence of the Lord, because he says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So you understand the Holy Spirit is indwelt in you. We don't have to pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, like some churches do, because he's here, because there's enough saved people in here. We don't have to invite him in. He's already here. We can invite him to work extra in our lives, in our hearts, but we don't have to invite him here. So he's already with you. We know that. But in a practical sense, as far as you yielding to him and you recognizing his work in your life, are you willing to live without the presence of the Lord? Does your day go on just as pretty much the same as it would with or without your yielding to him, your seeking him, your inviting him? I'm challenging each of us tonight to say like Moses, Lord, if you don't go with me throughout this day, I don't want to go. Lord, if you won't go and help make these decisions with me, I don't want to go. If thy presence go not with us, with me, carry us not up hence. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us in this room would make a holy decision before you. That, Lord, in our lives we refuse to live without your noticeable presence. Lord, I pray like Moses of old, we would say, Lord, if you don't go with us, I ain't going there. Lord, like Moses of old, that we'd say, if thy presence go not with me, carry me not up hence. I don't want to go unless you go. And folks, I'm asking you to get that close relationship with the Lord. That is what's missing in our Christian lives. Bless us, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If God's speaking your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you've been trying to handle things all on your own. Sometimes we are practicing atheists as far as the way we act, the way we behave. We are saying that I can go through this day with or without your help, Lord. Oh, God forbid. Oh, I know you're not an atheist. I know that you're not claiming that. But I'm talking about in the way we practice, the way we act. As they play through one more verse, and you have this time just to contemplate and meditate and think and go to the Lord and remind yourself that without him you refuse, you don't want to do anything that's not led of him, accompanied by him, and God forbid we go somewhere that should not be pleasing to him. May we follow him. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, you may be seated, and we are so excited. Tonight, I want to come and give you a report that just the other night, Miss Bridget Ripley, 6 years old, at her house with mom and dad, prayed and asked Jesus Christ to be her Savior. Amen. I told her, I said, I'm going to tell the whole church, because I said the Bible says that we're supposed to share that with people, proclaim Him before men and women. And so we're so excited, and we're so thankful that she has come to that age where she would receive Christ as her Savior. And we thank God for her godly parents that have trained her up in that. And so what a wonderful joy. So amen, you say? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to share with you a couple other things that aren't near as important as that. But I do want to give you a few things, and then after a while you can come by and see Bridget and thank her for, or praise the Lord with her about her being saved. So I want to give you a few things. We mentioned last week, you remember that we had come to you about some money in India, spending it out of a missions, India missions fund. And so I'd like to speak with you just a little bit about missions in India. And